It's good to see you. Good to see you. It's good to be here. And we're going to make it our business to be here more, too. Because this is a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22. What did you say? Matthew 22. Matthew 22. As we prepare to go to a wedding. You like weddings, don't you? Well, we're all going to a wedding. We're all going to a wedding. Now, you know, when you go to a wedding, you have to be dressed. Well, we're going to find out what the attire is. You got to know what the attire is. And when you're invited to a wedding, you don't just come in what you have. Or what you think is right. Okay? You have to find out from the bride and the bridegroom what the color scheme and what the attire is so you can be proper and in order. Okay? Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son. Sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them who are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they who were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So when those servants went into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in here, having not on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Gracious Father, we thank you for the hearing. We thank you for the heeding. We thank you for the reading of your precious inspired word. We at this time in this place give thanks for the word made flesh. Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had 10,000 tongues, they would be insufficient in subscribing the glory and the honor and the wonder and the majesty that is due the wonderful name and fame and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may he be extolled in our midst today. Thank you for Curtis Gospel Chapel. Thank you for its history. Thank you for its impact on so many for so long. Thank you, Lord, for those great cloud, that great cloud of witnesses that have preceded us, that have stood for this testimony and stood for the testimony of the Lord that they have received. Bless your word now. Bless your people now. May we be strengthened, edified, fortified in the faith. And then, Lord, serve notice on those, if perchance, would be in the audience today or listening by way of recording that have never tasted to see that the Lord is good. That have never accepted Jesus as Lord. May this be the day, yea, the hour, that he, she, or they may do so before it's everlasting too late. And we'll subscribe the glory, the honor to thee, because you're more than worthy. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen. We're getting ready to go to a wedding. See? Now, as you know, on occasion, you'll receive an invitation in the mail. invitation indicating that you are invited to the wedding, to a wedding. And you may be excited, you may not be. In fact, you may take an attitude about it and say this, as some of us have said, "Oh, not another wedding. My goodness, my weekends are never my own. And besides that, what is she getting married to that turkey for? You know." And then there are other wedding invitations that you expect, that you appreciate, that you look forward to. And especially depending on who the person is. If you're invited to the mayor's daughter's wedding, you say, "Well, now we're talking." That's what I'm talking about. Then if it's the governor that's inviting you to come to her son's wedding, you say, "Well, now, see, I'm a man of means, a man of notoriety here. I've got some respect. Look who's inviting me." You show off that invitation. Then if it's the president that invites you to come to his son's wedding, you say, "Ooh, now, see, that's what I'm talking about." All right, now. Then if it's the Queen of England, oh my, that's over the top now. But the Lord of the universe, we make light of his invitation. He has given us an opportunity to come to the marriage supper for his son. And he is saying to you, and he's saying to me, have you received the invitation? If you have, don't make light of it. Whatever you do, don't make light of it. And he gives us this parable of those who did and the end result. And this is why the unction of Scripture is to us all, and it's only to Christians, to examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. He's not speaking to a lost man. A lost man can't examine himself. He has nothing within or without to examine himself with. It's in the context of the church. Examine yourself, even around the Lord's table. Take inventory of your life in light of these emblems, in light of the bread, in light of the juice. In light of your certain meeting with me, take inventory, examine yourself, and make sure you're in the faith. Make your calling and election sure. Nail it down. There's nothing wrong if you think you have locked the door and you've gone up to bed. You've had second thoughts. Did I lock it? There's nothing wrong with taking the alarm back off, going downstairs and checking to make sure that everything's tidy. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with making it sure. Nothing wrong with that. Being confident of this very thing, you have to be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he started it, he will consummate it. He which hath begun a good work in you, he will conclude it. He will bring it to pass. He will cause the consummation of it. And he'll do it because he started it. That's why he'll consummate it. And that's why it's not of word, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but three words, but of God. The flesh can't start it. The flesh can't continue it. The flesh can't consummate it. Blood can't do it. You don't inherit this salvation. Not by blood. It can't be imposed upon you by a man, by a priest, by a pope, by a preacher. But it's of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah found that out. Salvation. If I'm going to get out of this fish, it's going to be something outside of myself. It's going to be a miracle to get me out of this fish. And that could be a type of the world. In order for you to get out of here alive, to enjoy the satisfaction of glory, the bliss of heaven, it's going to take a miracle, sir, that you and I can't perform. And that's why he says, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. Don't look around, don't look down, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Salvation is of the Lord, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven where we are, given among men where we move and have our being, whereby we must be saved. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Are you sure? Make your calling and election sure. And if you're not, that's good. That's good. You're in the right place to be saved. Because there has to be a time where, manner, how, that you were saved. Just like you were born at a certain time, physically, certain place, manner, how. Everybody was born, certain time, certain place, in a manner how. It wasn't around about a certain time, no. Certain time, certain place, and a certain manner how. Likewise, we're all born again at a certain time, certain place, and a certain manner how. And there is no difference. You'll never convince anybody in this room or any other room that your daddy was a kangaroo, that your mother didn't get pregnant without knowing a man. That won't fly in this life or the next one. No, there was a coming together of an egg and a sperm. And there has to be a coming together of you hearing the good word, and the good seed has to fall into your heart. And according to Matthew 13, and it germinates. It didn't fall by the wayside. It didn't fall upon stone. It didn't fall into thorny ground. It fell into good ground. And it didn't fall into good ground until that good ground was cultivated. Someone had to break up the fallow ground. And whenever you see a good lawn, manicured, edged, well, green, somebody has worked on it. Someone has put a hole down. Someone has cultivated. Someone has broke up the fallow ground. Someone has weeded and feeded. And whenever you see a believer, that man has heard the gospel. That man has had his life turn around. That man has received the good seed of the word of God. And it caused germination to take place in his heart, in his life. He was going this way, and he heard the truth, and he's turned this way. And only God can turn a man around like that. Not by doing something, but by receiving something. The good news of the gospel. And this is why this invitation is so important for you not to make light of. And so he went out one time. And he spread this good news to his own first. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In verse 5 said, they made light of it. Ah, that stuff like they did in the days of Noah. I've heard that stuff 100 years. I've heard my grandfather was telling me about that old man. Is he still out there talking about one message? Rain, 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 rain. He didn't just rain, which was a type of judgment. It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Generation after generation, decade after decade, he never changed the message. And if you check my tapes out going back 40 years, same message. It's going to rain. Judgment is coming. Prepare to meet God. Why? You're going to meet him. Ready or not, he's coming. The only question is, are you ready? Because he's coming. In every idle word that man shall speak, the judgment will be so fine. He'll start with every idle word, all the loose talk. Man shall speak. He shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. Like I say many times, you were cut slack. He didn't cut the devil. The devil didn't do anything to get busted out of heaven. What did he do? He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He thought the wrong thing. Because he failed to understand or appreciate that the thought of sin, just the thought, is foolishness before God. So he cut Eve slack. He didn't cut the devil. She saw the food was good, pleasant to the eye, desired to make one wise. all foolish, all of the flesh. But he cut us some slack. But he didn't cut the devil. The devil just thought about it one time of what he would do. Didn't do it, thought about doing it. And he was finished. And look how many times God has given you to hear the gospel. Don't you make light of it. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You may all be saved, but I'm not going to take that chance. You know me. I don't take that chance in my own family. I pray every day. I'm like Job. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children, a perfect family. Then he said, maybe they've cursed God in their hearts. And every day he sent a burnt offering up for his children. Oh Lord, thou knowest if they're saved or not. Save my 7 sons, save my 3 daughters. They were saved, but he didn't know that. Oh, he was making sure it wouldn't hurt. After the men's meeting, Tuesday at Grace, a fellow that was new to us, I was leaving to go home in the parking lot. He met me, and he said, I'd like to talk to you about something. And I was really trying to get home to watch Boston, the Celtics. I'd have time for that foolishness. He said, I'd like to talk to you about something. I said, yeah, what's that? He says, am I saved? Right away, I forgot all about the Celtics, didn't matter. My wife will tell you, I had a double funeral once. Man's wife and his daughter. And we were going out of the church. We got right to the door. And the widower stopped me. He said, wait a minute. I said, yes, sir. I'd like to be saved. Stop the funeral. Those people can wait. If they don't, forget it. That's not important. This is important. What did you say? I'd like to be saved. We stopped. First time it ever happened. And we took care of that business right then and there. I say, you heard what I said on the pulpit. I say the same thing down here. Are you willing to admit that you're lost? Are you willing to admit that you are a sinner? Are you willing to admit that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day? And coming to him as a sinner, you're willing to receive him as Lord and Savior without reservation right now? Are you willing to turn from your sins and receive him as Lord? He said, yes, sir. He said, let's do it. That was longer than that. And right there, we bowed our hearts. And he trusted the Lord Jesus. We later baptized him. That's been about how many years ago? 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he was at the men's meeting, and I told the story to the other men to let them know, if you're sitting here, I challenge you to take inventory of yourself in light of eternity, because we're passing from time into eternity, and the time we know now we'll soon know no more. Make your calling and election sure. I said, just like this gentleman, I was en route to the cemetery. We're going to the door of the chapel, and he stopped me. He said, I'd like to be saved. I said, you tell the rest of the story, and he told it. And he added this that I didn't know. And he said this, when I told you I wanted to be saved, had you said, let's wait until we come back from the cemetery, I wouldn't have come back. Because I would know you were for me. That's what he told. I said, woo, forget the Celtics, forget everything. Woo. And so when that gentleman last Tuesday, he said, am I saved? I said, I'm not to give you the assurance. Only God can do that. I said, who saved you? I said, the one who saved. Have you ever asked him? I said, have you ever asked him? He stood there hesitantly, and I had a feeling. I said, this man is not saved. I said, can you take this Bible right now and show me how you became a Christian? This is the manuscript. This is the roadmap. I said, if you can't do it, don't be ashamed. The devil didn't lead you to stop me here in this parking lot. I said, don't be ashamed. Can you do it? He says, no. I said, would you like to do it? He said, yes. I said, let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Men were coming out from the class. Never mind that. Pay attention right here. Baby is coming. Doctor at work. And right there, he trusted the Lord Jesus. Been in church all of his life. 50 years old. And wasn't saved. And was giving input to the class. Good input. But he wasn't saved. It's possible for you to be sitting right here at Curtis Gospel Chapel and not be saved. But it's a good thing that you are here. Because maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is it. Take advantage of it. Don't make light of it. And anyone that doesn't take the time to take care of this business with you, they're not for real. Because this is what it's all about. Don't make light of it, like others have done. It's a personal invitation. Not from me to you, but from God to you. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just the mailman, that's all. I'm just a conveyor system, that's all. That's all I want to be. I don't want to be anything else. That's it. See? And they made light of it. One to his ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And it got worse. And those that remained took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard of this, he was wroth and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And I said this morning at an early service, I just wonder if Detroit is not in the shape it's in simply because we have 3,500 to 4,000 churches. Churches, four or five churches sometimes within one block, same denomination. But I just wonder, as God said, I'm giving up on this city because I have professors and not possessors of the truth. Who are exploiting my word, exploiting the gospel. Who are in it for merchandise, and they've made merchandise of the people. And they're aggrandizing themselves. They're not giving out my word. Thousands of people were at the funeral on yesterday, and not one word. And how many will be in a God-forsaken place yet this year that was there, looked like a church? There were people there, called themselves ministers. No truth, no gospel, no blood, no blood, no blessed hope. He said, maybe that's why. He said to me, maybe that's why. I look for a man among them. Because I never charge the White House. I never charge the Congress. I never charge the state. I never charge the county. I never charge the city. Never charge the council, the board of education, none of these entities with what I've charged you with. You are to be salt. You are to be light. You are to make a difference. Not them. And that's why judgment will begin in the house of God first. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said in Capernaum, his headquarters, if the people of Sodom had heard what you heard, had seen what you've seen in my headquarters, if that had been duplicated then in Sodom, they would have repented long ago. You see, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. There in Jerusalem that kills the prophets, your house will be left to you desolate. And it has been ever since. Why? They missed their opportunity. Don't sit here and miss your opportunity, sir, man, whoever you are, whatever. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't make light of it. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not. He said, my spirit in the beginning will not always strive with man. Don't think you will just get saved, treat God any kind of way, keep getting an invitation. You know, hey, wait a minute. I sent you an invitation before. You made light of it. How many more invitations do you think in this family you're going to get? I'm just giving, hey, didn't we send that fellow an invitation for our youngest boy? He didn't even acknowledge it. We sent another one for our daughter. He didn't even have the courtesy to acknowledge it. And we're going to keep sending that guy an invitation? And he didn't even have, he didn't send a respectful card or a gift, nothing. Worst sin in the Bible is an ingrate. Don't make light of it. Many ways to make light of it. Don't make light of it. As some of you know, I was with Billy Graham when I was on the police department, just doing my job, guarding, and protecting, and assigning me here, stand there, whatever he wanted me to do. Glad to do it, introduce my wife and my family to him, and Johnny Cash was there. I said to Johnny, never will forget, I said, Johnny, I said, tell you, we got to be kind of close. It was 2 weeks I was there. I said, Johnny, I have a little problem. He said, what's that? I said, you know, I see you in dual places. No man can serve two masters, respectfully, sir. I said, I sometimes see you in the clubs, and I see you singing on here with Billy Graham. I said, which is it? You know what he said? No, you know, that's the reason I respected him till the day he died. You know what Johnny Cash said? He could have looked at me and said, who are you? And it was just two people with no one else around. He could have very easily said, what's your name? He could have very easily, you know, took on this pious, you know, holier than thou attitude. I wasn't nobody. No one knew me. He didn't. You know what he said? He said, you're right. He said, but I can assure you this. These are his exact words. You'll never see that again. I said, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. That's a man that is receptive to the word of God, no matter who brings it to him, no matter his high status, no matter. And I didn't. To his credit, to that day, I never saw those dual roles again. I respected Johnny Cash from that day on. Don't make light of this, sir. Don't make light of this, ma'am. This is real. This is real. A million years from now, you'll be rejoicing in heaven because you did. Or a million years from now, you'll be roasting in hell because you didn't. Don't make light of it. Please, for your own sake, for your family's sake, don't do it. Don't do it. The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. And then I have a tape of Dr. Graham's message, 1958. He was on, just last night, one of the old channels, 1958, in Charlotte, North Carolina, where one of our boys lived. And he said this, and I'm gonna use it on the radio, and I'm gonna reflect back. I said, he said this in 58. I was graduating out of high school in 58, and he said these words. I'm 39 now, don't get me wrong. Don't just look at me and think I'm anymore. When Jack Benny died, he gave me the mantle, so understand that. Daniel will tell you that when in his sober moments he will. But anyway, this is what Dr. Graham said. In 1958, Charlotte, North Carolina, at a crusade, he said, it is so bad in this country now. The crime problem, the race problem, the degradation at every level in government. It can't be long now. Woo! 58, he said that. How much worse is it now? He said, the clock. It's 5 minutes to midnight. In 58. What time? Elena, what time is it now? What time is it now? If it was 5 minutes to midnight, 58. If it was that bad in 58. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And you know what challenges me? About the Lord's words about the days of Noah. There were only 8 people that were saved. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. That was it. 1 is God, 2 is witness, 3 is Trinity, 4 is world, 5 is grace, 6 is man, 7 is completion or perfection, 8 is a new beginning. And God had to start a new beginning again with one family. But the thing that really startles me was that 8 people, and the demographics best estimate is that there were 1 million people alive at that time. This is what shakes me up. Now listen, 8 people out of 1 million, and the Lord would say, as it was. Woo! Man, getting a little warm in here. I better make sure that I'm right. Never mind my mother, my brother, my sister, my aunt. Woo! Don't play with God. As it was in the days of Noah. And what was it in the days of Noah? That was rapid. One word, violence. What is it today across the world? Violence. First 15 minutes of news. Murder, mayhem, robbery, rape, children being killed, people, gratuitous violence. Anything might happen at any time. We could be in a nuclear nightmare at any time. The higher critics used to say, even since I was at Bible school, you could read books. There's no such mechanism made by man that could destroy the world. Where are those critics today, dead and in hell? No one's talking like that today. No one would be surprised if anything happened at any time, any place. It's only by the grace of the omnipotent God that suspends the judgment that this country deserves the way we're going in our treatment of Israel. But as it was, so shall it be. Violence. And Luke 6:17, he puts those two together like he does no place else. They only appears one time. And then he said, and as it was in the days of Lot. Woo! And what permeated society in those days of Lot? Homosexuality, sodomites. And I said it on the radio, and I'll say it everywhere I go, and I'll keep saying it. God cannot bless Detroit as long as you have a sodomite as president of the council. Can bless. An open sodomite. And there were so-called Christians who voted for that man, and you knew it. It wasn't like he was in the closet. He was out of the closet on Channel 2. You knew it. You put him in anyway, as it was in the days of Noah. Violence, as it was in the days of Lot. Sodomite. And when you put those two extremes together, those twin evils, the Lord's cunning is at the door. At the door. Not to even couple it with abortions. That's rampant. And all of this is certified from the top levels of this government. God is soon to act. His patience is running out. If it was 5 minutes to midnight in 58, when I thought things was relatively good, what time is it now? And are you saved? Or are you making light of it? Don't do that. Maybe the last message I'll ever preach, but it may be the last one you'll ever hear. The wedding is ready, but you're not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the wedding. Let's turn to the Gentiles, taking in us now. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment, nor excuse. He passed right through the vestibule of time, and his size was fitting him right there, waiting on him. His exact size, his shoes, his socks, his pants, his cummerbund, his jacket, his shirt, his tie. Even if he wanted a little cane. Everything. You see, in some weddings, I've been in many weddings, but in most weddings, if the bridesmaids, you're honored to be in your friend's wedding, fine. But you have to pay for your own dress. Yeah, oh yeah. Other weddings where the groomsmen, they tell you where the shop is. We want everybody to go to this shop here. Hey, ladies, this bridal shop here. So everybody will look alike, fit alike, and stitched alike, and what have you. But they're not paying for it. Now, there are some rich kids, you know, that can handle, their parents can handle. I understand, that's the exception. But in most cases, that's the case. But in this wedding, the king, everything is on him. Everything is ready. I have furnished everything. I've got the fatlings. I've killed the fatted calf. And your robe is ready for you. You're just your size. It's your size. And you walked right through Curtis Gospel Chapel just as if you heard nothing. The next time, it'll be a little harder for you to hear anything. I'll tell you right now. It'll be a little harder, sir, because whether you like it or not, there's an operation going on in your heart that's either getting softer or it's getting harder. Don't make light of this stuff. You may not have the exact same opportunity ever again. And the king came in and saw that fella, and he said, "Friend, you've got a lot of nerve. I've done many weddings. And some of the wedding attire, color scheme that the bride ordered, I didn't like. But it wasn't my wedding. And you comply with what the bride wants, or you don't come in. I don't care if you're the best friend. I don't care if you're the maid of honor, and that's your sister. How dare you come into the wedding wearing your work clothes or wearing the clothing of your choice? You've insulted the wedding party and my wedding. You don't do that, sister. You have to be dismissed." If that wouldn't fly down here, how is that going to fly up there when everything's on him and you have no excuse? Everybody will be dressed alike, white linen. Righteousness of the saints is to typify that Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. His blood washed it white as snow. No one will get there and say, "I'm here because I'm a preacher. I'm here because I started a church. I'm here because I graduated from Bible. I'm here because I won so." No, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Helpless look to you for rest. Foul I to the fountain fly. Save me, Lord, else I die. I'm here because you died for my sins. You died in my room, in my stead. I deserve hell, but I thank you that you saved me. That's why I'm here, Lord. And anything that I've gained, I'm going to lay it at your feet. Because in my best state, I know I'm altogether vanity. That's why Paul could say, "Oh, wretched man that I am," not that I was. It takes a mature Christian to see that. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But I thank God through Jesus Christ. Friend, you got a lot of nerve coming in here, not having on a wedding garment. And John Lennon, I never will forget, I heard him say before he went to hell, not knowing how close he was, when they asked him, saying, "But what if there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun?" And John Lennon said of the Beatles, he said, "I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances." He's not saying that now. Michael Jackson is not saying that now. No, no. "I'll straighten it out when I get there." No, you'll be just like this man right here. Speechless. Speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into outer darkness." No partying there. No getting back with friends there. No. No rock music there. No. Darkness. Outer darkness. Perpetual falling. And one of the things that all of us have experienced, and I'll tell you why. There's not a person here that hasn't had a dream of falling. Boy, you woke up. I think God instills that in our nature to let us know that we have a fallen nature, that only he can break our fall. All of us have had that. That's why a baby has a natural curiosity with fire, something about it. I've had children, babies in my arms, and never will forget the first time I took a child up to the casket to see her slain father. And he looked just like himself, but there was something instinctive in that child to know that this is not a natural sleep my daddy is in. And that baby, she said, take the child up so she can kiss her daddy. She wouldn't do it. There was something there that even that child knew. This is my daddy, but this, something is wrong here. Even a child knows that. What about you? He was speechless. Take him out! Bind him hand and foot! Cast him into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping. That's where you call that a party? Where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No plaything. And the Lord Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? You know why? Simply because he would that you not go there to experience it firsthand for yourself. And he's done all that he could do. Before you go to hell, you have to cross over that cross. Cross bars the door to hell, but you can sneak under it. You can crawl over it. Oh yeah, you can do that if you want to. But if you climb up anyway, other way, you're a thief and a robber. Don't do that. Don't make light of it, because it may be your last opportunity to do so. We were closing the gym years ago, and there was a guy who was, he was the perfect look-alike of Muhammad Ali as far as his build was concerned. About 6'2", 220, and he was good. We had a boxing ring. His name was Tony. And one day as I was closing, Tony said something to me he never said before. He had a kind of air about him, pride about him. But he knew he could, he was good. So who am I? And he said, we need to talk. I wonder what he was wanting to talk about. I said, okay, actually after we close, he said, in fact, I'll take you home. And he said, will God forgive a man for anything? I said, yes, Tony, anything. Anything? Anything. He said, I have AIDS, will God forgive me? I said, yes, he died for that sin too. He said, but that's not the worst part of it. I said, what's worse, Tony? I've been having unprotected sex and I knew I had AIDS. I said, Tony, let me say this to you, with all due respect. And this goes to the heart of whether or not you will receive the Lord as Lord indeed. You've heard the messages, you've heard the devotions. I'm not telling you anything new. If you're willing to go to as many of these women as you possibly can and let them know and beg their forgiveness, then God will know that you are serious about repentance. He says, I will. I buried him 6 months later. And he didn't weigh 90 pounds. The way of the transgressor is hard. Father, we give thanks that the way of Calvary was hard also, but you bore the cross alone. And you took our sins in your own body on the tree that we might be free. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to save even in this place. Because thou knowest, I had no intentions of speaking on this message. But thou knowest. Speak, Lord, as only you can to the hearts of your own and serve notice on those who are not, that they might be saved. Grant it so. Be with us as we part in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.